Jesus.
Yes, he is.
My Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
My Lord. Thank Glory,
you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You.
My Lord.
Amen.
Special thanks to Brother Carlton again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brought back some old memories. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
And we just thank God for letting him stop over to fellowship with us today.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Follow.
All right, we give the good Lord praise, and without any further delay, we're going to go ahead and open the book.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
And let's see, you should have some handouts there. If you didn't receive one, raise your hand and we'll try to make sure you do get a copy of our lesson for today. Amen.
Amen.
And as you know, those of you who are sojourning with us who have been here for the last so often, some of you may be here for the first time today. So we'll just let you know that we have been teaching through the entire book of Romans, and we are taking a break from that study during this season toward the holidays, just to make some preparation for the coming season and just to talk about a few subjects that we thought were crucial for the times that we are living in.
Yes.
And some of the things that we can see that are on the horizon here coming up. Amen. So the Lord has impressed it upon me to take a pause from the study in Romans. We will continue. We had made it all the way up to chapter 12 and gotten every verse and every chapter there done. And so now we are moving on into this next phase of our study with some special lessons. Last week, in case you were not here, we enjoyed a lesson that was called It's basic instruction is what it was, actually, before leaving Earth. Amen. And so we'd say that was an acronym for the Bible. Amen. And so you can find all the previous lessons are posted on our website at STTMBC, and that would be .org. Amen. STTMBC.org. In case you want to look up any of the previous studies. But for today's lesson, we're going to move into a new area in this special series of teaching we're doing for the holiday season. I'm taking a slight detour from our study through the entire book of Romans to deliver a sequence of topical messages to escalate us into a deeper understanding of how to handle more things at the spiritual level. That's the purpose of these lessons. Even during peak stressful times such as the holiday season in general. And then there are some other impending things that I can see, that we can all see, that are going on around us in the neighborhood. Like, I've been watching different kinds of things, the police and the military girding up for the Ferguson decision, for example, things of that sort. And that's gonna be interesting to see how that pans out. And but we are, like I say, we want to be prayed up.
That's right.
Is the whole thing. And then the people of God need special instructions for special times.
Yes, we do.
Because a lot of times we get a lot of messages that I don't know necessarily that they prepare us for special times and special seasons. But we're not going to worry about that, because we are going to hear a message today that will get those of you who are in my hearing to understand a few things. We started on this last week. We want to know, the Bible is the most rejected book, even though it is the bestseller. They quit counting it. Did you know that?
That's right.
That for the Times bestsellers list, they had to stop counting the Bible because it was always number one.
It's always.
So they don't count it anymore. It's just not on the list. So therefore, Stephen King, you might have a shot.
That's
or somebody else. Because if they don't do that, so it's just not done. They don't count the Bible, because more Bibles are sold than anything, any other book ever written in the history of time. And the reason for that is that it is the most important. Because it is the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God.
It is the Word of God.
So therefore, it is the one that is the focal point of hatred and animosity and all of that, which is amazing, because it's the only way, it offers to us the only way a person can be saved or be right with God.
Yes.
And so we are going to be unapologetic about that when we see changing times, changing systems and things like that.
Yes.
You know, people are trying to come up with more things that they want to call spiritual, but they're not, they don't have anything to do with the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
And so these type of things are the kind of things we must take a stand against.
Got to.
And we intend to do just that.
Amen.
Amen. Because we believe, as we said last week, that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, holy Word of God.
Yes, it is.
And so today, just for to get us back in this, we're going to use the same Old Testament introduction to the Psalter, as it is called, the book of the Psalms. This one kind of states the whole tone of the book of Psalms all the way through. And really, the entire Christian life, the Christian worldview is defended in these six verses, which are the introduction to the Psalter, as it is called, or the book of the Psalms. 150 Psalms that were penned by mostly David, but some by Solomon, some by Moses, some by Asaph. It's a collection of songs written about the holiness, the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And his salvation and his relationship with man.
Yes, amen.
Amen. So we use this first one as kind of like the gateway, if you will, to the Psalter. It brings us into that whole mindset.
Yes.
And this is what you and I need. We need to have a mind focused on the truth.
Yes, we do.
Because that's what's going to be a balm in times of trouble when we're going through a lot of issues. And this is a very deep lesson, so I don't know exactly where this is going, but God put a lot of stuff in my heart, and I want to share as much of it with you as we can in the time we have here this morning. So let us go ahead and make preparations to hear the reading of the Old and the New Testament scriptures. We will have you stand at this time, and I'd like to ask someone to read again. In fact, let's do this week. Why don't we all read Psalm number 1 together? I think we all love it.
Amen.
And if you don't, read it along with us, and then we'll ask a reader to read the New Testament scripture from the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Let us start here at Psalm number 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. We have all collectively read Psalm the number 1 in its entirety. Now listen to the reading of the New Testament scripture from the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Brother Raymond Martin will read for us.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us, and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
Mm-hmm.
But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor gesturing, which are not covenant, but rather giving of thanks.
Mm-hmm.
For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Mm-hmm. Let no man deceive you with vain words.
Yes.
For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of the disobedient. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Mm-hmm. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Mm-hmm. See then that ye walk
circumspectly,
not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because of the days are evil.
Mm-hmm. Amen. We've heard Ephesians 5:1-16. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And let us have a word of prayer. We're going to speak on the subject of cooperating with a redeemed mind. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we praise you and bless you. Oh God, we exalt your name. And we just thank you for letting us be here today, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who you gave to be crucified for us, that you allowed him to be buried in the grave and rose him up from the dead after 3 days, according to the scriptures, and 3 nights, O Lord, and you seated him at your right hand. And so, Father, you gave him in order to make our accounts clean, those of us who trust in him. Help us to fully accept that, O God, just as it is that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone.
Yes.
And Father, we pray now that you open our hearts and our minds that we might receive an elevation, O God, in your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Because you said that when the Spirit comes in, you would give him to everyone who trusts in Christ and believe that you raised him from the dead. And so, Father, we ask you, just bless our minds right now.
Right now, Lord.
That we might take away from this word something that will just bless our day, all day today, and all through this week, and even further on into our life until we arise in your likeness and see you, oh God.
Yes.
Bless us now today.
Bless us.
We ask it in the righteous name of your son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Father, we pray even for the service coming up after this one today that you begin to bless minds over there at Clayton Baptist Church, Lord, that they might be prepared to receive a word.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask it in the righteous name of your son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
To him be glory and majesty, dominion and
Lord.
Power, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to talk about now, normally you don't spell cooperate this way. You normally put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to intentionally separate it today because somebody said this one time. I saw a bumper sticker. You may have seen it too. And it said something like, God is my co-pilot. And I thought, okay, well, you know, God needs to be your pilot. No wonder you're going driving like you do. You need to let God be the pilot, and you need to be the co-pilot.
All right.
So I wanted to separate this here. If God is on board, you want him to drive. You don't want to be the driver, you know.
Amen.
You got him on there. Why should he be the co-pilot? You know, he's the better of the two. And so I just wanted to pick this title here. We want to be, because what has happened if you have trusted in Christ? God has forgiven you of all your sin.
Yes.
He has filled you with his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit has a purpose in our life, which is to lead us and guide us to all truth.
Amen.
And he's given to us as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he is the one who is responsible for renewing or redeeming the mind.
Right.
And I want to talk about that whole realm of the mind because it's very terribly important for me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Yes.
It says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Yes.
And so there are a lot of things pertaining to that. And I want to just put some highlight on some things you may not even have thought of. Because
mm-hmm.
when I was praying on this, I hadn't really thought of it this way, but it really does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
The realm in which you and I operate and live our lives is the realm of the mind.
That's right.
The body is just a vessel that contains the mind, the will, and the emotions.
Right.
See? And you start talking about emotions and mind and will and all that kind of stuff. And when you think through it, all of those things are invisible.
Yes.
And when the Bible says God made man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, God is not, he has no physical image. So all those parts of you that are invisible that we talk about all the time are God-like characteristics that you and I share as human beings. This is what sets human beings above the animal kingdom, for example.
Right.
See, it's the Spirit of God. The living God was put in man when when God created Adam.
Yes.
And God gave Adam and Eve the ability to, as we say, procreate. Mm-hmm. See, in other words, to work with him together to create human beings.
Yes. Amen.
They provide a physical body and God provides a soul.
Yes.
And so that internal part, basically, since Adam's fall, the soul has been fallen.
Yeah.
And in other words, it does not, it misses the mark of the true full glory of God. So you and I need to be trained in our minds in order to have proper control of our bodies.
Yes, we do.
And the way we think and the way we do things.
Amen.
And that's the biggest difference between the saved and the lost. When a person is saved, they realize I cannot do anything about my sin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm helpless to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust Christ and him alone.
That's it.
God gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he died to pay the debt for all of my sin. And God did that. God provided him. But not only did God do it, but Christ the Son himself did it.
Amen.
He was willing to do it.
Yeah.
He hung there by himself and was even forsaken of the Father in that last moment on the cross when he had defeated all the evil that had come against him. He had fulfilled all the word of God that had been written from Genesis all the way up to Malachi. Everything that was required for Messiah to do, he had done.
Yes.
He had come down through 42 generations to be born of a virgin, exactly as Isaiah had prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
He had lived a life of righteousness and went and all those things the word says. We're going to talk about that during the Christmas season, so I'm going to cut to the chase here on this today. But he had fulfilled 333 different prophecies or more concerning the first advent. By the time he hung on the cross,
mm-hmm.
and people had done all these things that were exactly stated in the word, like they pierced my hands and my feet.
Mm-hmm.
They cast lots upon my vesture.
Yeah.
They gambled for my clothes, in other words, it could be said.
Yes.
And all those things had all happened.
Yes.
He had been wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
Isaiah had said. It said that by his sacrifice God would be satisfied. And even at that last moment when Jesus had done everything necessary to fulfill all those scriptures, he said, first of all, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So God forsook him on the cross, and that lets you know he had to be God the Son, because
yes.
no human being could be forsaken by God and continue to live.
That's right. Amen.
You and I would go out of existence if God forsook us for 1 second.
Yeah.
But he allowed that to be done so that at one moment in time there was a disconnect between God the Father and God the Son, which was also predicted in the scripture that needed to be fulfilled.
That's right.
And so that lets you see Christ all by himself willfully gave his life in order to make me and you clean.
My Lord.
And that proves the level of his love for us.
Yes, it does.
Now I want you to see that after that he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he commissioned his spirit to go up to God. And by that, God was satisfied. Nothing
yes.
else. Nothing else in all of time has satisfied God but the offering of his son was willfully given for him.
Jesus.
Now what happens when you and I enter into a relationship with him? He is showing you that I love you this much because there's nothing that Fisher could possibly ever do to ever be right with God. Nothing.
Yes.
There's not a thing I could ever do.
Amen.
I can work my fingers to the bone.
That's right.
And I would never satisfy God.
Yeah.
I can start doing righteousness right now and from now on. But what about my sin in the past? See, he covers you for all your sin at one moment in time. And it was prepared by God from the foundation of the world. Just so you know, he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And now we look at that, and that's like a traumatic thing for a human mind to think about. But God did this because he wanted to bless you with salvation.
Amen.
He wants to renew your mind because you and I have occupied a body of flesh for different amounts of time in our life.
Yes.
We have had all kinds of stuff happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have been abused. Some of us have abused others.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have been through a lot of different kinds of changes. We've been beaten, forsaken.
Yeah.
Parents have forsaken some of us. Some of us have been all kinds of different things. We would all tell our story. It would be a sad story in somebody's life, in
all
everybody's
right.
life. I can
all
tell you some
right.
things in my life that are pretty sad. But when we were not in control by God, we did some of all kinds of things.
Yes, we did.
And so
yes,
that's why the Apostle Paul said that you and I are dead in our trespasses. trespasses and our sin, if we were to follow through the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, he said that we were all dead in our trespasses and sin until God made us alive by grace through faith in his son Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so I'm trying to get us cut to the chase here, but I want to give you a little background so you can understand, no matter what you've been through, how awful it was, whatever it was that you that happened to you in your life, that God still loves us. He still made a way for us. He gave his son to repair everything you ever been through. And to make you a whole individual where you can say that all those things did not take me out. But I'm still here today because God loves me and he blessed me to be here. By his son, I'm healed. That's why Isaiah said, by his stripes, we are healed. See, and you want to accept that healing. So you want to get to the place where you have a wholeness of mind where you can live the rest of your life being blessed.
Yes.
And we looked at that last week.
Yes.
So this is what the story of the Bible is. That's why we need basic instructions before leaving earth. How do we get fixed from all of that? You know, we carry baggage where the world wants to say, oh, it was somebody else's fault. Blame somebody else and they got all kinds of things. Or it was three generations back and you have a generational curse or some kind of a thing. Well, we don't want to get with that. God said that if you trust my son and you're born again, I'm going to move into you. That's what the Holy Spirit does.
Yes.
Take up residence in every one of you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to lead you and guide you to all truth.
Yes.
So basically, you and I, therefore, are operating with a redeemed mind, those
Amen.
Of us who are saved.
Amen.
Because God has redeemed. That means he paid the price. He bought you back out of whatever it was that you were involved in.
Yes.
And now we ought to be co-operating with the redeemed mind. Because God has given you a new mind and a new judgment. This constitutes the reason why now we don't feel the same way about sin as we used to.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be, before I got saved, sin was, somebody asked me about sin, oh yeah, I'm the king of sin, whatever, you know, I thought I was proud of sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to see some sin, let me show you, you know, and I'll get right involved with something here, you know, and that's the way we were. We thought it was a good thing. And that you all are party poopers trying to tell us stuff about get out of sin. What do you mean? Because
mm-hmm.
our mind was not right.
That's right.
When you get saved, you realize what God paid in order to purchase you to be his. That he invested his son in you. And when you really believe it, he moves in. He doesn't leave it up to you. Thank God he doesn't leave it up to me. I'm the pastor. Oh God, I would have a load on me every night if I had to be worried about everybody in here and all the people who I minister to.
That's right.
I don't have to worry because the Holy Spirit is in you.
Amen.
You are operating with a redeemed mind.
Yes.
God has given you the ability to discern good and evil.
Yes.
And
Amen.
What the reason we need the word is that this is what David says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We live in a world with tens of millions of people who don't love God. They're still in that same condition we were in.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that they're all whacked out and messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would argue with you. You know, I'm doing pretty well. Somebody with a big bankroll and got stacks of buildings and all kinds of different airplanes and I'm doing pretty good over here. What do you mean I'm in sin?
Mm-hmm.
They would have a lot of trouble accepting it. That's why Jesus said it would be more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than it would be to put a camel through the eye of a needle.
Yep.
Because you can be deceived. The deceitfulness of riches will make you think you're okay just because God allowed you to be blessed at that level.
Amen.
But we have a lot of bad philosophy in the world. So the church needs to zoom in on the Bible. That's why we took that lesson last week. Basic instructions before leaving earth. This is from God.
Amen.
God loves you. He fixed the way and there's only one way. I want to let you know. The world will tell you, oh, there's 50,000 ways to God.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the same lie the devil told Eve.
That's right.
At the beginning. See? And so God says there's one way.
One way.
And there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, this same book says in chapter 4, verse 5.
Amen.
Ephesians 4 and 5.
Amen.
And so David says, going back to the Psalter here on our text, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. People who don't trust God, who aren't filled with God, who aren't being led by God, don't listen to them.
Yes.
Their advice, they don't know. They may have a motive why they're doing what they're doing, why they're saying what they're saying. They have something they want to achieve from you. Or some reason why. Maybe it's just pride. I think if you listen to me, I'm Dr. Phil, I'm going to tell you some stuff. And then you can watch my show and so on and so on. Whatever the reason is. but it's not really a wholesome reason. So you are blessed if you do not walk in the counsel, and I'm not picking on Dr. Phil, but it could be anybody who doesn't trust Christ.
That's right.
You can tell the difference. John says in 1 John 4, try the spirits to see whether they be from God. Whoever confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. The ones who are teaching Christ are of God. He who denies him is of the Antichrist, you see.
That's right.
You see, so that's all you got to do. It's that simple. God made it very simple. He wants you to know who you should listen to and who you shouldn't. The ones who are promoting and teaching Christ are the ones who are teaching you correctly. The ones who deny Christ or put him on the back burner or add him to some other pantheon of gods or whatever kind of thing they do, or any other group, the ungodly. Because God says we are in John 5:18 through 23, we are to honor the Son even as we honor the Father.
That's right.
So if they're giving the Son any less place than they give God the Father, they are not the ones. That's how you do the test.
That's it.
To find out, are they speaking the truth or not? And I don't care who it is, how prominent the organization may be,
all right,
how high and mighty they may be, how many buildings and properties they may own, it makes no difference. The test is, do you have Christ in the right place?
That's it.
Is he equal to God?
Yes.
Is he the only savior of the world?
Yes.
He is not in a co with anyone. He is a co nothing, except he is the only mediator between God and men.
Amen.
So you're blessed if you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. This is the path of the ungodly. It's going down to sitting down and being comfortable in a position against God. Now, how futile of a position could it be than to be against God? Who's going to win that battle? That's an easy one, isn't it?
Yes,
okay, if you're against God, you're going to be the loser when it's all done. Sad part is God doesn't want you to be the loser. He wants whoever you are, no matter where you stand at this time, to turn around, give glory and honor to his Son.
Yes.
He has fixed him in the middle of time, so he cannot be denied. You can't really deny Jesus. I mean, you'd have to be on a far island somewhere way out and you were born there and never heard of a clock or a calendar, you know, to deny Jesus. Because it's 2014 years since his birth. God fixed him in time in the center, so you cannot ignore him, no matter who you are. And so basically to say he is not important, how did he get in that position? I want to know. How do you apply for that job? What's the resume for that look like? God did it. That's how he got there.
That's right.
And
amen.
You need to pay attention to it, whoever you are, no matter who you are. Right. But on the other hand, people who love God delight in the law of the Lord.
Yes, we do.
And that refers to the books that God has written. We could say the book of the law, which would be from Genesis to Deuteronomy, written by Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he delights, but it does include the entire Bible, including the Psalter and the Psalms, the Holy Writings, the New Testament, those things that we look at in these 66 books that we hold dear. That is all the law of the Lord in
that
sense.
Amen.
But he says it's delight. In other words, you're happy to be in the law of the Lord.
Yes.
And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's the realm of your mind.
Yes.
You keep your mind circulating in what did God say?
Yes.
What did the Lord say about every subject?
Amen.
Not whoever else, Jan LaVanzant, I'm not going to start naming them all.
Yes.
Oprah and all these folks who are giving you bad advice.
Yes.
God knows who else. I'm not going to go into that, but I'm not picking on those people. But their advice is not from God.
Right.
Not any of it I ever heard. Have you ever heard any? I'm just going to ask.
Wow.
I haven't heard any from them. They'll talk about God, but not specifically that Christ is the only Savior of the world. See,
that's right.
We don't want to say that because that's too narrow and you guys are bigoted.
Right.
And but you know what? None of you all got up out of a grave. So why should I believe you?
Yeah.
I got to believe the only one that the tomb was empty.
Yeah. That's right.
Because the problem I have is I got a box coming up in front of me. Y'all know I like to say that. We all have a box coming up. We're going to have to face death.
Yes, we will.
Jesus is the only one that successfully faced death and defeated it.
The only one.
The only one.
Yes.
So whoever else, I can't trust in what you have to say because I want to deal with this problem of death.
Yeah.
The Bible says the wages for sin is death.
Yeah. Death.
Right. See, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes.
So I want to trust Christ because he has what I need.
That's right.
He has what you need if
amen.
You think through it. Now we can get past a lot of problems, but how about that casket?
Mm.
You know, that's one you can't get past.
Right.
The only way you can get past that is through Jesus Christ. He's
that's
the only
it.
One that defeated the casket.
Amen.
the tomb, got up with all power in his hand. And he didn't go there because of his sin. He went there because of our sin. That's the big difference. He took our sin to pay our debt. He went in the tomb, then got up to show you, okay, your sin has been dealt with. Here am I. You know, behold, I am alive forevermore.
Yes.
And so I trust him and no one else. The one who does this and delights in the Lord and meditates in the day and night shall be like a tree. A tree is one of the most stable things we know about. Anybody ever run a car into a tree? Or have you ever seen a car ran into a tree? The tree said, ha! And the car was demolished, no more any good. See what I'm saying? So a tree is pretty stable, isn't it?
Yes.
You see, so he says, and not only any tree, but a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's a really good, deeply rooted tree that is not going to be moved very easily. They bring it forth its fruit. It produces fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper.
Yes.
God has promised you prosperity by meditating in my law day and night.
Yes.
You know what? We get so washed with all the stuff on TV. We're electronic freaks, every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to have a cell phone. I know I left the house yesterday on my way to the store. Forgot my phone. Got to go back. Went back to the house. I'm not going to leave without my phone. We're addicted to electronics, aren't we? Truth be told.
Yep.
But, and it's not bad. I'm not trying to say there's anything bad with these achievements.
Yes.
But is your mind in Christ?
That's it.
See? And are you trusting in the Lord with all your heart?
Yeah.
Leaning not to your own understanding. You say, Pastor, I don't understand all that. I don't either. I'm going to tell you now.
Yeah.
But I trust God with all my heart.
Yeah.
And I don't lean to my own understanding.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to acknowledge him in all my ways.
Oh, yes.
He says, I will direct your path. I'm going to light the way for you if you do that.
Yes.
See? And so looking on here, he says, everything you do shall prosper. You know what? We could use a promise like that, couldn't we?
Oh, yes.
Don't you want to know whatever you put your hand to do, if it's right, God says, I'm going to be with you.
Yes. Amen.
I'm going to help you go through that, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you that prosperity. Doesn't mean you'll all, you know, own the towers and all that necessarily, but doesn't mean you can't.
Right.
You can if you really want to do that. You're going to do it to his glory.
To his glory.
Put your mind to it and trust him. Trust
Amen.
In the Lord and do good.
Yeah.
You know, he says. And so God's going to lead you and guide you. That's his promise.
Right.
But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. That means there is a day of judgment coming.
Yes.
Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now I want to just take a minute here before we dig into the thing I talk with you about the redeemed mind. We got to talk about that just a little bit here. But Psalms 1, the gateway to the Psalter, presents to us the realm of the spiritual and how ones who trust in the living God must train themselves by way of constant meditation in the things of God contained in his word, rather than following the deadly advice of the fallen world of rejectors whose mindsets are against the truth.
Yes.
If their mind's against the truth, how are they going to help you?
Right.
See? So, but if you're in that realm of the word, God promised, I'm going to prosper you.
That's right.
In spite of what they do. You know what? They won't be able to keep you down.
Yeah.
I had some haters in my life wanted to keep me down. They did for a while.
Mm-hmm.
God moved them out of the way. Guess what happened? I popped up.
Yes.
He sure did. He'll lift you right up. He'll move them out of the way.
See?
No matter who they are. So that's what you have to do. Trust in the Lord. Let him elevate you.
Yes.
In due time, he will.
Yes, he
and so Paul teaches us in Ephesians that since Christ Jesus is our perfect Savior and he has done all that the Father requires on our behalf to secure God's blessings and his foreign righteousness, that we, like the psalmist, must devote ourselves to becoming imitators of God. Look at that. From where we are in life, wherever you are, you can start wherever you are. You can be a dope addict. And you can start right there.
Yes.
You can be a prostitute. You can start right there.
That's right.
You can be a thief. You can start right there.
Yes.
Doesn't make any difference where you are. Once you get on track with God, God's going to take you from there and lift you into the heavenlies in Christ Jesus.
Yes, he will.
If you walk by faith and meditate in his law day and night, he's going to show you the way to prosper in your life. And he will do that. Doesn't make any difference where you start from. On the other hand, you could be a king. Maybe you need to come down
right.
And start there. Start with Christ and let him show you got to be a real king if you are, or president, or whatever you are. It doesn't make any difference. You need Jesus because you have a sin problem, and there is a grave waiting on you up ahead. And so you want to definitely walk in Christ, devote yourself to being an imitator of God for from wherever you are in life, and then learn to walk in opposition to our fallen nature, thus attaining actual victory over sin of every strength. See, God doesn't want us to stay in sin. He didn't save us to keep us in sin.
That's right.
He's redeeming you out of sin.
No longer in bondage.
See, you are not in bondage to sin anymore. He frees you from sin.
Yes, he did.
See, and he doesn't want you to stay in it. He paid the price to buy you out of it.
Yes, my Lord.
And that mind is in you. That's why Paul told the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon him the form of a servant and was found in fashion as of a man.
Thank you, Jesus.
He says, dwell and let your mind be like Christ. Christ came, he was on a mission. My mission is to satisfy my Father.
Yes.
Amen. No matter what it costs. Mm-hmm. Even down to me being stretched out and crucified on a tree.
Yes.
I'll take it to satisfy my Father.
Amen.
And God's going to persevere over it all. He made this body. He can fix it.
That's right. Amen.
See? And the death that I'm going to take is for all them whom he loves.
Yes.
I'm going to take that death and pay their bill in full.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's what redemption is. I'm going to pay that bill in full. So you and I come knowing that our bill is paid in full.
Thank you.
Now, since that bill is paid in full, the Holy Spirit has gone in. He lives in you.
Yes.
And his purpose is to renew your mind.
That's right.
And that's where we left off in Romans 12, if you remember, those of you who were with us.
Yes.
He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, that?
Yes.
A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, that means without sin, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
See? So we have a new mind. God, the Holy Spirit is in there.
Yes.
Now the new mind, he says, let this thing go to you. You have to be a cooperator with the redeemed mind.
That's right.
The problem you and I have is sometimes we do not cooperate with the redeemed mind. It's not that God hasn't done his part. The Holy Spirit is there.
Yes.
Because God says you are sealed. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption.
That's right.
So if God put a seal on it, you're sealed.
That's right.
Holy Spirit isn't going anywhere. Then he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's when we do not cooperate with the redeemed mind.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is grieved, it's because we won't follow him.
Yeah.
We want to drive. We don't want to let him drive.
Uh-huh.
See, so that's why I separate that cooperating with the redeemed mind. Because the redeemed mind is in you if you've been saved. If you're truly saved, trust God as your Savior. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that his blood shed was shed for the redemption of your sin, not only of your mind, but of your body, your soul, your spirit. You're fully saved by grace. That means God's undeserved kindness. You cannot work for it or earn it. You do not deserve it. But God is merciful and loves you and wants to give it to you, no matter who you are. See, so Paul says, now right into the Ephesians, and I have to put this in, and I think we have time. Realize who Paul is here before we talk about Ephesians 5.
Mm-hmm.
He hated the gospel.
Yes, he did.
He said that church has got to go.
Yes.
Before he got saved, he was with the world, going in the course of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Hate those Christians.
Yes.
They got to go. I don't just hate them. Get me some legal papers from the Sanhedrin.
God.
Let me get papers from the high priest.
Yes.
Let me get Judaism and all of them all with me. Get a band of people. Pack it up. Let's get down there to Damascus and break it up. They got
it
up. That's the way he was.
Yes, he did.
Stephen stoned him. You hear what he said? That was blasphemy to God.
Yeah.
Put your coats right over here at my feet.
I'll hold your coats for you.
Because he hated him.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead with the stoning. He sanctioned it because he stood there and collected their coats.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's changed.
Yes.
He knows Jesus is Lord.
Yes,
he is the Messiah, the one that God had promised.
Yes.
He has come, defeated death, hell, and the grave.
Yes,
he was approached on the Damascus Road while he was in the midst of that sin, going down to obliterate the church, that a bright light came around him brighter than the noonday sun. And he fell from his beast to the earth and said, Who art thou, Lord?
Yes.
On the Damascus road, in the Damascus dust. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Remember that?
Yes.
In the book of Acts?
Yes.
And so Saul was a convert who understood very well that he was not, even though he knew what the scripture said, he didn't trust Christ. And now it's time that I should trust Christ, because I know you're the Lord. There's no question about it.
That's right.
So he was redeemed, and then at that point his mind was renewed. The Holy Spirit moved in. And now he writes in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 with that brief introduction, Be ye therefore, that means all of you. That's why I put this in the King James, that ye means all of you, all you believers.
Yes.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children.
Yes.
And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us.
Yes.
See that?
Okay.
And hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. And that's for Donovan there. A sweet smelling savor.
Yes.
See that?
Sweet smelling.
He has given himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor.
Yes.
That's to say that God was satisfied with the offering
That's right.
of Christ.
Amen.
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
And then he says, But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you,
yes.
as becometh saints. Saints are holy ones, those
yes,
who believe
are.
You've been made holy.
Yes.
You've been declared holy by
yes.
God.
Yes.
Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient. But rather giving of thanks.
Yes.
We ought to constantly be thanking God.
Yes.
Because God is constantly making improvements in our lives.
Yes, He is.
He's constantly showing us favor, even though we still have issues.
Oh, yes.
We got stuff that's not right. He's blessing us anyway. He's
Milo.
Making a way for us out of no way.
Milo.
He's opening up doors that people would like to shut.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But He's opening them anyway, just because you trust Christ.
Yes.
All that He does for you and me, He does it on the merits of Christ, not
that's
on
right.
the merits of myself.
Right.
If He did, if it was on my merits, I wouldn't be getting anything but judgment.
That's it.
There will be some depart from me work of iniquity. I don't know you.
That's right.
You know, but the fact is, God is opening up doors, and He wants to do that for you.
Yes.
And He just wants you to put Him at the highest place in your mind, walk with Him, trust in His Son, promote the gospel in the world. Now think about this. Before, we might have had a different idea about who we were and what we were doing, but now we have a purpose in
All
the
right.
world. Our purpose is to share this good news to everyone else.
Yeah.
Why? Because God loves them too, no matter what they're doing.
Yes, He does.
All those people I named, I hope they listen to this. If they don't, just extract that part, because it's going to be online. I hope they know God loves you, Dr. Phil, and He gave
yes.
His Son Jesus for you.
Yes.
God loves you, Jan Levan Zan. He gave His Son Jesus yes. for you, and you won't be clean without Him.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
He wants you to trust Him and be saved. Bill Maher, He wants you to believe
Amen.
In Him and not say there is no God.
Amen.
See? And He loves you, and He died for you, and He's in the middle of your calendar, just like He is everybody else's. And you
yes.
better check, why is He there?
Amen.
You know, and we want you to believe Him, just
yes.
like God does. So we are imitators of God.
Right. Yes.
God did whatever it took to get you to believe the gospel.
Yes, He does.
Amen.
I don't know what it took. What did it take to get you to believe? I'm looking at what it took to get me to believe. I had to go through all kinds of stuff. People told me about it. I said, didn't worry about it. Or I was too stoned to hear what they said. Or care.
Yes.
At one time. But God went through all that and got to me and made me understand I love you just like you are. I'll take you in your mess and your filthiness and bring you in and cleanse you and make you something useful. So He kept on. He didn't stop until He had my heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
Until I loved Him and understood the supreme position that He belongs in.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so I could look back at my life and say, look at all the mercy He had on me all those times when I wasn't thinking about Him. You know, could have been dead anywhere. I remember driving from here. This is something I probably shouldn't even be telling you, but it's in my heart. I was driving from St. Louis to go do a gig in Jeff City at Lincoln School. I don't even know how I got there. Because I went by somebody's house, picked up something, I got on it, and then next thing you know, I was in Jeff City. Like, wow, okay, that was quite a trip.
Yes, it was.
But God took me down the road. I could have been in a river
yes,
between here
have.
And there.
Yes, you could.
Or in a ditch on the side of the road. God knows what could have happened to me.
Amen.
You see, but He let me get there.
Amen.
And then I wondered, how did I get here?
I
but I went on in, we did the gig, had fun. But God allowed all that foolishness. But I just want you to know, whatever it is, if you're still here, He still loves you.
Amen. Yes, He does. Yes. Oh, yes.
If you're still here, no matter what you did, He still loves you.
Thank you.
He still shed his blood for you. He's giving you another chance to trust him right now and believe in him. And he wants you to imitate him. See that?
Yes.
And so he says, this other stuff in your life, I'll deal with it. I can get rid of all these things if you let me. If you cooperate with a redeemed mind, I can help you. I'll show you just what you need to do to get straightened out on all this stuff he lists here.
Yes.
He says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. People who don't obey God, his wrath will come upon them.
Yes,
so don't let somebody trick you into thinking you can stay in any of this and it's okay. It's not okay. No. But God says, I'll show you if you cooperate with the redeemed mind that I have given you, how to get straight, how you can get out of this. Now, notice this, he says, be not ye partakers therefore with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. See that? That's the realm of the saved, is goodness, righteousness, and truth.
Yes.
Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, we can talk about all the dark stuff that goes on. Some of us may be attracted to some of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you are, I just want you to know God knows it already.
Yes, he does.
But he has a fix for it.
Yes, he does.
And this is the part where we have to cooperate with the redeemed mind that I want to talk with you about. We'll do this as we make preparation to close. So I want you to see, first of all, that he says, for it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest, Brother Dotson, you like that word, manifest, by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So the things that make you see what God means in his word are light. That's the way God puts light into your life.
Yes.
There are things that he gives you to make you see what's dark and what's light. He shows you the difference between good and evil.
Amen.
See that? And so he's doing that. Whatever it is, whether it's his word or the actions of one of the saints or whatever it is in your life that causes you to see the error of your ways, that's light to you. That's giving you light. It's waking you up so you can see what needs to be adjusted.
Amen.
The beauty of it is God doesn't force you to do these things. He just wants you to cooperate with my spirit and let me
That's
do it.
It. That's it.
I'm going to show you just what to do, how to get these things straightened out. So now notice this warning, and we'll look at this. He says, but all things are reproved. We read that. Now wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Don't sleep this, we might say. And arise from the dead. We're coming up out of that dead life into a new life. And Christ shall give thee light.
Yeah.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We live in evil days. He says, make the best use of your time. I don't know how much time I have. How much time do I have to straighten this up? You know, but I do know Christ has saved me.
Yes.
And if that's complete, he wants you to have a confidence that Christ has saved you. But don't get stuck. Don't get stuck along the way. Cooperate with the redeemed mind.
Yes.
But the stern warning in Ephesians 5:13-16 lets us know that the ones who are truly changed through their relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, must practice making the best usage of their time in an ongoing pursuit of actual righteousness.
Yes.
I should start to see actual righteousness in my life.
All right. Amen.
See that? Knowing that the time is winding up and that the fallen world is only getting more and more worse every day. So the Bible says evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's not going to get better. The world's going to get worse.
That's right.
So we shouldn't be expecting a universal change in people. It won't happen.
No.
Which is sad. You know, just like it was, Jesus said, so shall it be as it was in the days of Noah, as it is in the coming of the Son of Man. He said they were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the flood came and swept them away.
Yes.
They didn't heed the warning. Noah had been warning for 120 years.
120 years.
And they would not hear it.
Amen.
They said, what you're doing is ridiculous. That's crazy. There hasn't even been any rain. What do you mean there's going to be a judgment? You people have lost your mind. I'm sure he was the object of scorn and ridicule his life.
Oh, yes.
Until 7 days before, and God said the last thing that he was supposed to do, came in and God shut the door from the inside. He spoke to Noah and his family and said, come into the ark.
Mm-hmm.
So where was God? He was in the ark.
Yes.
And they came in, and then the Bible says God shut the door.
Yeah.
And it sat for 7 more days.
Yeah.
Nobody even bothered to come knock. Hey, can we come in?
Yeah.
And then after the 7 days, God broke up the floods of the deeps and dropped in water from everywhere.
Yes.
And consumed everybody that was outside. You could say he baptized the world.
Mm-hmm.
And only those that were in the ark were lifted up by the judgment.
Right.
The rest of the world was consumed in a baptism of his anger with water.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is what we need, just as we make preparation to close. I was looking at how many invisible things are in all of our lives. And I think this will fascinate you, just as I make preparation to close. Think about this. These are all characteristics of a human being. We can be optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Can you touch optimism?
Mm-hmm.
You can be serene. You can be joyful. You can have interest in something, or you can be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
What is aggression? You can see the fruit of it when people act aggressively.
Yes.
But then you can also experience acceptance. Have you ever felt acceptance where you feel included? I hope you feel it in here when you come in here.
Yes.
We accept you just like you are. This is your home. This is your home church. You can come here, you feel acceptance because I belong here.
Yes.
That's a feeling, it's not tangible.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? Or we can talk about some other negative things. How about boredom?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm bored stiff.
Mm-hmm.
There's no physical thing there, but it's a state of mind, isn't it?
Yes, that's what it is.
How about remorse? I feel sad about something. That's all internal feeling. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
How about awe? Have you ever just been in awe of something when you saw a sunrise or the Grand Canyon? Oh, look at that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or some beautiful thing and it puts you in awe of the grandeur of God, or a sunrise or something like that.
Yes.
All these different things, these are different aspects of the human makeup that are all basically invisible. How about love? Do you see love? You can if I come and embrace you and show you some concern. But what about the feeling of it?
Right.
How about fear?
Mm-hmm.
Or terror?
Mm-hmm.
See, there are different avenues, different parts of things, and we talk about them all the time, but we never pay attention to the fact that they're all invisible. Stuff like emotions, we have envy.
Yes.
Ugh, envy somebody. Where is that happening at? That's happening where? In the mind, isn't it?
The mind.
How about surprise?
Mm-hmm.
You walk in and they say, surprise! You have some feeling because they surprised you, something you weren't expecting.
Yes.
Or it could be a negative surprise, like Brother Ray mentioned. Somebody come up to your window with something evil. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But holding a gun. Okay, I'm shocked by that.
Yes.
You know, but where does that happen? It happens in the mind.
The mind.
You see what I'm saying? So all of these different things, whether it be happiness, sadness, amusement, weariness, courage. Have you ever just had courage at a moment, you know, this is dangerous, but I think I can do it, and you move forward with confidence because you have courage.
Yeah.
Where is that? It's in the mind. See what I'm saying? And we can start talking about all these. I can't even get down this list. How about complex emotions like pride, modesty, shame, closeness, detachment, distance? How about boldness, relaxation, goodwill, respect?
Mm-hmm.
See, these are all things you do, and you do it all the time, but you don't ever think about that's an invisible trait of my mind and how I function in the world.
Yes.
Confusion. Aristotle had a list. We don't have time to hit on this, but I'm about done anyway. He was talking about some of the things. Of course, Aristotle was one of the great philosophers, such as it is, who didn't believe in God.
Yep.
So he had a lot of insight, but he said, how about enmity, when you hate something?
Yes.
Oh, I really hate that.
Yes.
That's all in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're talking about, I just wanted you to see, how about appreciation?
Yes.
There's so many. We could go down the list. It's unbelievable how many things that are all invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Benevolence.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things. Emulation.
Yes.
Boy, I sure would like to be like him or like her. I want to emulate them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're become an idol to you, or so to speak, you know.
Yep.
And so all of these things are all characteristics of being human. But God loves you. That's what I want to say now. And I'm going to clear this front row. And we have a different way we like to approach today how we invite you in. We want to invite you to the church to come in and be fed. I want you to trust God no matter what you do.
Yes.
And if you want to do that, you know, if you'd like to be a member of this church, I want to ask you to come right up here and sit with me.
Mm-hmm.
Just come right up here.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever you are, come on up and have a seat. And we have an empty spot right here, and we will say a word of prayer with you.
Yes.
I want you to know God loves you.
He
accepts
yes, he does.
You just like you are.
Amen.
And so I'm sitting here waiting on you. Come on up, whoever you are, just have a seat right here with me.
Amen.
If you want to be a member of St. Timothy MB Church and you're already saved, come on up.
Amen.
No matter who you are, have a seat right here on the front row.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. I want to invite you in, no matter who you are. Don't be ashamed of the Lord.
My Lord.
He was not ashamed of you.
My
he
Lord.
Went through terrible things in order to justify you, to make you clean.
Yes.
Because he loves you just like you are.
Amen.
He wants to take you from where you are and make you into a new person.
Amen.
The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away.
Yes.
And all behold, all things are become new.
Yes.
So he wants to give you that fresh new life, and you can take that first step right now. Come on down. Don't be ashamed. Just come right up and have a seat.
Yes.
Amen.
Come to Jesus.
My Lord.
Come right now.
Yes.
He is coming.
He is coming.
With his arms open wide.
With his arms open wide.
He is willing.
He is willing
to save your soul today.
Save your soul.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Come right now.
Come right now.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Come right now.
Come right now.
He is waiting. With his arms open wide.
With his arms open wide.
He is willing.
He is willing.
To save your soul today.
Save your soul.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Come right now.
Come right now.
Amen. If there's anybody who needs special prayer, there might be something that you want to be prayed for, especially that you need a touch from the Lord to help you move in the right direction. We want to invite you to come now. Also, anybody needing special prayer, come on up to the front and we'll offer special prayer for you right now. Amen. As we are praying, I want to ask God to touch Sister Cookie and Sister Martin, who are in the hospital. Lord, we ask special blessing for them. Lord, in their healing.
Yes, Lord.
Father, you touch right now.
Lord, right now, Lord.
Heal, oh God. We ask for that healing that's in the cross, Lord,
please,
that you said you, by your stripes,
yes,
that we are healed. And so, Father, we infer that upon them who are not here,
yes,
that you bless them with healing, oh God. We know you can do anything but fail.
Yes.
And prepare us, Lord, because the days are evil, these last and evil days, Father. Threats of all kinds of things in the world, Ebola and all kinds of stuff, Lord, but we don't even want to be worried for 5 minutes.
Yes.
Not at all, Father. We ask you to just ground us and root us in your word. God,
please,
help us to know that you are our protector, that you are our keeper, you are our shelter in a time of storm.
Yes.
No matter what comes, Lord, whether it be riot or confusion, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that you give us that ability to
please
have the mindset that we are just locked in on your word, that we're going to meditate in it day and night.
Yes.
That we're not going to be moved or shaken, oh God. We'll be just like that tree planted by the rivers of water.
Follow.
And we will bring forth our fruit in our season, and we will see the blessing of God on our lives, Lord.
Yes.
We just thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you,
Lord. We give you praise.
Thank
you. We have done as you command. We see that there are none, but yet there is room.
Amen.
We ask this in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Sister Robbie, let's ask the Lord a special prayer. Lord God, we praise you and we bless you.
Yes, Lord.
And Sister Robbie has come, Lord, having a need.
Yes.
And you know what it is.
You know
it,
Lord.
And so, Lord, we just thank you for what you
thank
already
you
have done.
Lord.
You have shown up
thank
for her, God,
Lord.
Time and time again.
Yes.
And so now, whatever it is, Lord, that she needs, we ask that you give it to her right now, Lord.
Bless her, Lord.
Bless, oh God. We touch and agree that according to your will, you would bless her, oh God.
Yes.
Whether, no matter what it is, Lord, if it's a health issue or just a mental peace that she needs, God, whatever it is, Lord, just bless her right now.
Please, Father.
And we give you praise in Jesus' name.
Glory, hallelujah.
We're going to ask her to sit right there, and I'm going to bring the anointing oil. Stay right there.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah.
And we're going to anoint you in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Touch you, Lord.
That you will bless, be blessed.
Bless, Lord.
That he will fulfill his will on you.
My Lord.
In the name of the Father and of the Son.
Yes, Lord.
And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless.
In
Jesus'
name. Amen. Amen. Any more among you that have special prayer needs, if you do come right now, I want to let you know you don't have any needs that are too big nor too small.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We come to her in Clarence Perry.
Yes.
And Lord God, we just bless you. We thank you for him. Lord. We thank you for his spirit, Lord. We thank you for the word you have invested in him, Lord God. And we thank you, God, even for his son.
Thank you.
Bless him, Lord God. And his family, oh God. We ask you to bless him, Barry, whatever he needs. Oh God, that you would bless him, oh God. Grant that his wish would be fulfilled and desire that he has, Lord. That his prayer would be answered. Oh God, and we give you praise right now.
Lord,
we thank you,
Lord,
in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We anoint you in the name of the Father,
yes,
and of the Son,
yes.
Amen. We anoint you.
Glory, hallelujah.
In the name of the Father.
Yes. Glory, hallelujah.
And of the Son.
Yes, Lord.
And of the Holy Spirit.
My Lord.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah.
My Lord. Your hopes on things eternal. Changing, why don't you hold to his hand, my Lord, and now God's unchanging. You ought to hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things
eternal. Thank the good Lord for another.